continue on that vein. Psalms 105, verse 16 in the Bible says this. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was placed in an iron collar until, someone say until, what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The New Living Translation says it like this. The word of the Lord tested him until, no, the word, it says New Living Translation, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, one more time, allow me to decrease that you may increase. I'm asking you, Father, that you will empty me, fill me with your spirit to speak the word that you gave me. I'm asking that you would allow your people, God, to receive what you have for them. Use me as a vessel. Remove anything inside of me that may not be right in your sight. I pray that you would allow me to communicate the word that you gave me. Remove any distractions. I bind anything that would try to steal the word this morning. I love you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we are going to be talking about testing. And how God allows us to go through tests to refine our character. See, last week's topic was about how God will allow us to go through struggle to take out all the impurities within our life. Because walking with God has to do with a process. You know that God loves us too much to allow us to stay the same? Walking with God is about progression, not regression. Come on, somebody. God desires to take you from glory to glory. And I've learned that as long as you're trucking forward, it don't matter if you walk, if you crawl, you might even be standing still this morning. But the Bible tells me that when you've done all that you can do, just stand. And as long as you don't go back and as long as you keep going forward, knowing that God is the perfecter of your faith, all things will be okay. And I got good news for you. Even if you have fallen, the Bible says, though a righteous man fall, he will rise again. And I'm encouraged this morning because the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not everything that you go through is a result of something bad. Not everything you go through is a result of you being a bad person. I used to think, man, I'm going through it all the time. God doesn't like me. Little did I know that God loved me so much, he allowed me to go through things because he didn't want me to stay the same and keep making the same mistakes. When you look at the word testing, this is what it means. It's a critical examination, observation, or evaluation. It's a procedure intended to establish the quality, genuineness, and reliability of something, especially before it takes widespread use. And when we apply that to our life, when God allows us to go through trials of many kinds, what he's doing, he's testing the quality, genuineness, and the reliability of our persons before he can allow us to be seen by the world as his servants. This is going to be good news for some of you this morning because the clarity and understanding of what you're going through is about to be made visible. God's going to begin to give you understanding onto why you're going through what you're going through. Have you ever noticed, I don't know about you, but there's certain things that I keep going through over and over. That just lets me know that's an area in my life that needs change. And God's going to allow me to keep going through it, allow me to keep getting tempted until I overcome it, because testing has to do with the procedure of testing the quality and genuineness and reliability of who I am. I've learned years ago that God desires to use our lives. God doesn't just save us or give us salvation or just so that we can go to heaven. But God provides us salvation so that we can do a work for his honor and his glory, so that we can go out there and tell other people that there is hope for their situation. You know, everything that you go through has a purpose. And I love the story of Joseph, because if you read his story, you find that Joseph was a man just like you and I. He was a man who God had spoken to at a young age. He was a young man that God had given him dreams for the plan for his life. He was called to be ruler. He was called to do great things. There was one problem, though. He was overconfident, arrogant, and he lacked this small thing called character. God had shown him what he was supposed to do, but he wasn't ready. Where Joseph went wrong was Joseph had a number of brothers, and he was the youngest in the family. And the Bible tells us that he was the favorite brother. And he began to walk around to all his older brothers and he'd say, "Did you know that one day I'm going to be ruler?" With arrogance, he would say, "Did you know that one day you're going to serve me?" And although he was called of God, God said, "Okay, you talk a big game. Now I'm going to throw you in a pit called process. And this process is going to help you become the man that you're supposed to be, since you speak," come on somebody, "a good game." And I identify with Joseph well. One of these days, take me out for a cup of coffee. I'll tell you about some things that I've been through. I have been lied about, forgotten. Come on somebody, slapped, whipped. Come on, hello. People have done talked about me, and through it all, I used to think, "Man, God, why are you doing this? Why me? Why?" And I begin to pray, and God would say, "Didn't you say you wanted to be used of me? Didn't you say you'll do anything?" Little did I know that one day he would put my name on a city. Little did I know that God would set our boundary to reach all of Pierce County. Had I not submitted to the process of God, I wouldn't have what it takes. And today I still go through the process. The process never ends. At every level, God will take you through something else. People say at every level, there are new devils. There are new devils at every level that you're going to fight. And had you not passed the previous test, you will not be qualified to fight against the new demons. You won't be qualified to break through. This is why you got to be careful that you don't cut corners, because you can walk into church, lift your hands, come on and dance and do, you know what I'm saying? "How are you doing?" "I'm blessed. I'm doing good, brother." But at home, hello. At work, hello. God will take us through a detailed process with the intention of changing who we are so that we can become who he intended us to be. This is what the word process means. It's a particular course of action intended to accomplish a certain result. The process of God is a series of actions, changes, and different struggles that will allow us to be refined so that we would resemble his godliness. And that's why I love the scripture, because the scripture that we read in Psalms chapter 105, it's a description or a brief description of Joseph's life. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us he was sold as a slave. The Bible tells us his feet were bruised with fetters. The Bible tells us his neck was laid with an iron collar. The Bible tells us he was thrown into prison. It said, until the time came for God's word to be fulfilled, God tested Joseph's character. See, everything Joseph had went through was by design. There was a reason why God put him through those things, because he understood that there was going to be a famine in the land. He understood that the entire country would be in turmoil, and he was preparing a man. That's why the Bible says God sent a man ahead of him, Joseph, who was bruised. Come on, that was sold, whose neck was. In other words, he had sent a man through the process, and everything he went through was to save a nation. See, some of you, you're going through some things right now, and you're like, "It's unbearable. It seems like everything's falling apart," but I got good news. There is a city with your name on it. There are people in the future that are counting on you to make it and break through. There are people right now in your family that are counting on you in 2016 to keep standing, because little did you know that in 2017, they're going to be... Come on, somebody. They're going to be standing next to you. They might... God might use you to reach a pastor. God might use you to train your child to be a worship leader. God might use your perseverance, your stability, your quality to raise other people up that will do greater things than we ever thought possible. Joseph was born for a specific time in history. He was born and created to save an entire nation. Joseph was called to a great task, and the Bible tells us that God tested his character. And that word tested, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it's a word called saraf. And the idea of this testing, it's to smelt or refine the way a metalsmith refines gold. We talked about that last week, and I'd encourage you to listen to last week's message. You can go to votacoma.org and listen to that message. But last week we talked about how God numerous times in the Bible described himself as a metalsmith or a refiner. In other words, God, the way he creates gold is the similar process that he uses to refine us so that we would come out as gold. In other words, God will allow us to go through struggle to refine our character so that we will not be broken in the midst of the struggle. There were times I didn't know what I was going to do. But thank God I married the right woman. Come on, somebody. Thank God, even in my struggle, even when I didn't know what I was going to do, hello, she stood. You got to make sure you surround yourself with people that will stand for you when you don't got enough strength. You got to learn to surround yourself with people that are positive and not negative. People that will speak life into your situation, even if there's no life to be spoken of. Come on, somebody. Someone with enough faith to say, listen, I know things are tough right now, but I see greatness in your future. Joseph was called to greatness, yet God had to deal with this character. And understand this. Character is important and essential to fulfilling the call of God upon your life. Without character, you cannot be grounded when you are bombarded or blindsided. Because the enemy doesn't play fair. The enemy likes to sucker punch people. Come on, somebody. The devil likes to come and attack you where it hurts. And if we are not grounded by our character, and if the fiber of our foundation doesn't have character, if there are cracks in our foundation, when the winds come, when the streams flow, and when the fire ignites, we will fall. See, character is our moral qualities. One man said this about character. It said, character is who you are when no one is watching you. I read in a book, and I love this, one man said this about character. He said, character is the will to do what is right, even when it's hard. Character is about will because it requires a willingness to stand for what is right, even if it is contrary to what others do, think, or believe. And this is important because we need men and women that will stand on God's word. We live in a world that's full of compromise. In other words, when I speak of compromise, I talk about accepting lower standards. And listen, just because the world says it's okay, we as God's people are called to live by a different set of standards. I don't care if Disney says it. I don't care if PG-13 says a few cuss words. We don't talk like that. Oh, well, everybody says it. I don't care if everybody says it. My question to you is this. The way that we speak, does it glorify God? Because at the end of the day, if we claim to be believers, listen to me, we are representatives of God. There's more at stake when we talk crazy. There's more at stake than when we leave our posts. There's more at stake when a priest of a household doesn't act right. There's more at stake when a wife doesn't act right. There's more at stake when we allow our children to run rampant because everyone in their school, their parents let them. I don't care if their parents let them. I don't care if they get mad at me because the Bible says, raise a child in the way he should go. And when he grows old, he will not. Listen, you might not like me right now, but understand what I'm trying to teach you. Now, this is the caveat. What we make our children eat, we got to live it. Because that all do as I say, don't do as I do, don't work in this day and age. Our children have photographic type memories. They will remember what you do, baby. And guess what? When you ask them to do something, they'll smile at you. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our personal goal as believers should be to develop the type of character and lifestyle God prescribes to us. Because we're all individuals. If I were to go to the doctor and you were to go to the doctor, the doctor would give me a different prescription. Because why? My body's different than yours. Right? Right now I'm battling a little sickness. If I went, he'd probably give me something for my throat. Whatever you're going through, he'd probably give you a prescription for that. God deals with us differently. God will allow us to go through different things, and he will prescribe you a way of living for your situation, for your calling, because there's something specific you're supposed to do. And it's our goal, it should be our goal, to live according to the prescription God prescribes to us. Understand this, people with godly character recognize and submit to what is right, as right is defined by God. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of moral people out there. In other words, they don't do crazy things and they do what they think is right. But we don't live like that. We do what's right as defined by God. This morning, I want to give you four things about character and we're going to wrap this thing up. You with me? Are you getting something? Too early? All right. I'm about to bring out some heat. Come on, somebody. You know the messages where you're like, oh, pastor's beating me up. I love you too much to not preach the truth. Number one, this is one of the first things you have to understand about character. Character is influenced and developed by our choices. Character and influence is developed by our choices. Our character is made up of our thoughts, our intentions, our desires, and listen to me, our actions. We can claim to be this person, but what we do habitually will ultimately testify about who we really are. What we think and live, what lives in our hearts will eventually come out. How we react in life circumstances tell a lot about a person's character. How do you respond when the pressure's on? How do you respond when all hell breaks loose in your life? Do we run to God? Do we respond in humility, or do we respond in arrogance, pride, anger, and immaturity? Because rest assured, God will allow us to go through things so that those things will rise. And this is why developing a devotional life at home is so important. In order for us to develop good habits, we have to understand what direction to follow. When we speak of a devotional life, we're talking about reading the Word of God outside of church. We're talking about taking a few minutes to pray. You might not pray for an hour, and that's okay. I don't expect you to right away. Maturity, this is what it looks like when it comes to prayer. I pray because I'm in trouble. I pray because I have to. Man, I pray because I want to be in God's presence. And ultimately, it should be, man, I want to pray because I just want to be close to God. I don't want to ask for anything. I just want to be close to him. I just want to know his purpose. You know what? As a matter of fact, let me take it a step further. I'm not even praying for myself. I go into prayer because I'm praying for other people that need it. A devotional life, reading the Word of God, will help us develop good and godly habits. What we do habitually reflects what lies within us. And only the Word of God, listen to me, only the Word of God can cut through every thought. Only the Word of God can cut through every false motive. Only the Word of God can cut through every intention. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of soul and spirits, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. When you begin to develop a devotional life, when you read the Word of God, all of a sudden things you used to think was right, you start changing. All of a sudden, what you used to do doesn't feel good anymore. All of a sudden, smoking doesn't feel any good anymore. All of a sudden, gossiping doesn't feel good anymore. Yeah. When I came to the Lord, I didn't care. I'd talk about you. I really didn't care. I'd talk to your face too. Come on, somebody. I didn't care if I wanted to talk about somebody. But when I came to the Lord, all of a sudden I would talk about somebody. I'm like, man, they're good people, man. I'm just over here slandering their name. All of a sudden, it didn't feel right cussing anymore. It didn't feel right talking back to my parents. It didn't feel right just starting ruckus for no reason. What happened? The word of God started to be applied to my life. This thing called conviction set in my spirit. The things that I used to want to do, I no longer wanted to do. My pastor would always say, God will change your want to's if you abide by the word of God. When we allow the word of God to transform our lives, our character begins to align itself with the word of truth. In other words, and I got to caution you, not everything you believe is true. Not every philosophy that was taught to you in your family line is right. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a worldly example. There are a lot of people in the church, they still live by this conduct, I ain't no snitch. It's all right. I grew up like that too. I ain't no snitch. Come on. You ain't said it. That's a worldly mentality. Because my Bible tells me I'm my brother's keeper. So if I ain't no snitch, did you know that doing what you know you ought to do and not to do it, it's called sin? So let me break and shatter that concept of I ain't no snitch. We have a men's rehabilitation home, and I ain't telling on nobody. I got that. I get that was an old mentality and philosophy that was bred in you. But for you to go to the next level, you got to shatter what you always believed and align it with the word of truth. You got to know that God is greater than every ideal, every philosophy. And we're living in a day and age where people will take the word of God and form it to fit what they want it to. Got to be careful because there's a gray area there. You start adding to the word of God. You start taking away from the word of God. You now have seated yourself in judgment. We got to live according to the word. We as God's people live by a different set of standards. And know this, your standards have to be aligned with the word of God. And as you align your life to the word of truth, your choices begin to reflect who God is. And as a result, you develop what's called godly character. Number two, something else you have to understand about character. You got to catch this. If you desire leadership, if you desire to be used of God, maybe you don't even want a title, but you want to be a representative for God. Understand number two. You cannot rise above the limitations of your character. If our character is weak, we will always succumb to the ways of the world and fall into temptation. See, the Bible documents a number of men who God desired to use greatly, yet their character limited their effectiveness. For example, King Saul was called to be the king of God's people. Saul was chosen to lead God's people. Saul was tall, physically impressive. He looked like a king, but he lacked this thing called character. This is why he fell. He submitted to God as long as it aligned to his truth and how he felt and what he wanted to do. But when God has called you, you got to submit to the entire process. Ultimately, him doing things his way got him dethroned. But God already had a plan. When God seen King Saul going right, when God seen King Saul going an opposite way, compromising, there was this little shepherd boy named David. He was tending to sheep. Nobody seen him. He was there protecting sheep. At one point, the Bible even tells us that King David was delivering cheese to the army, something that seemed so insignificant, but he was being exposed to greater things until the day came that he said, who's going to fight this man? And everyone said, we don't know. Everyone's afraid. And he said, let me fight him, because there was a man that submitted to the process. What about Samson? Samson was separated by God to deliver God's people from oppression. Recorded to be the strongest man in the world. With all his strength, with all his physical beauty, he lacked character and ultimately compromised with Delilah, falling. And the Bible says that when he tried to do a work for the Lord, he didn't even notice God had left him. See, the story of both King Saul and Samson were examples of men who were called to greatness but never fulfilled their full potential because of the weak character. You can desire to do great things all you want, but if you never deal with your character, you will always be limited in your effectiveness. And this is why here in our church, Victory Outreach Tacoma, we take time with rising leadership up. We don't just hand out leadership like sliced bread. Come on, somebody. We don't just hand out leadership like it's candy. Come on, somebody. My biggest thing when I take leadership very seriously. And when I look at somebody that says I'm called to lead, I sit there and I go like this. I grab some popcorn and I watch. Because the minute you start talking like that, guess what? The enemy hears you. Be careful. I'm not afraid of the enemy, but I'm not going to talk crazy either. I'm not going to go picking a fight. I ain't stupid. Come on, somebody. There's some people, the enemy is stupid. He's a punk. And he sits there and he sits back. He goes, he's talking big game. I'm going to let you have success with speaking to 10 people. I'm going to let you have success doing little ministry over here. And he's going to wait until the time comes for you to do something great. All along, he's going to bring the heat when it matters, when you haven't prayed, when you started compromising, and he'll blindside you and sweep your feet from underneath you. You got to be careful. Now, granted, there are times when I get angry and I start talking crazy, but I also know that I'm prepared for a battle. The enemy doesn't play fair. Know this, passion is not enough. Good intentions is not enough. Skill is not enough. 10 hours of study for one message is not enough. If you don't have character and the Spirit of God upon your life, all those things fall by the wayside. Because everything you do for the Lord will be tested by fire. And Corinthians tells us that when everything has been burned, only the things that were with pure motive will last. It takes godly character to sustain a godly work. It takes quality and integrity to sustain the work of God. Amen. Trust me, your quality, your genuineness, and your reliability will be tested before God can take you to a widespread use. Number three, character is forged in crisis. Crisis does not necessarily make character, but it will always reveal it. Crisis has a way of exposing our true nature. In order to overcome temptations, we will have to be tested. And adversity has a way of leading us to a crossroad. Am I going to follow God on this one? Or am I going to take situations into my own hands? Romans 5:3-5 says this, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In other words, we have to go through tribulation. We have to go through suffering so that we develop endurance. And endurance eventually will have us rely on hope. What hope? The hope of Christ. Not a wishful thinking, but a hope that anchors us, knowing that everything we go through shall pass. That's good news for somebody this morning, because you're going through all kinds of stuff. I got a few words for you. It shall pass. Cling to Jesus. You stand. You keep believing. You cling with people that are like-minded. You cling to people that are going to encourage you. And in due time, I promise you, the dust will settle. The winds will have to obey the word of God until the time that he tests your character and God uses you to do what he intended. You will go through what you have to go through. That's what's beautiful about our hope. Our hope is in Jesus, the one who overcame it all, the one who overcame death. In other words, nothing can kill you. You might die physically, but I've learned death is just my servant. When I die, death is going to show up as my servant and lead me to Jesus. Because to be absent in body is to be present in him. Therefore, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor demons nor angels can separate me from the love of God. Some of you got to buy that into your spirit, knowing I might be going through things right now, but I serve a big God. I serve a God that is able, that at one word, he can change everything, that in spite of what I go through, he can make the crooked places straight. He can level the mountain. He can give me the gate and the key to the city. As long as I keep trucking, as long as I keep standing, as long as I keep believing, God will have his way with my family. God will bring the fulfillment, everything that he promised. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks with integrity walks securely. We got to be people of character. I don't always make the right choices. I make a lot of bad choices. I really do. Because my heart's in the right place and it's aligned with the word of truth, even when I fail, God covers me. That's why you can't operate outside of the covering of God. Even when you fail, listen, God will cover you. Number four. Oh, real quick, last thing I want to say about that. Integrity of character occurs when there is a consistency between your actions and inner convictions over time. I want to say that one more time. Integrity of character occurs when there is a consistency between your actions, inner convictions, over time. In other words, you got to develop a consistency in your life. That's why you keep going through the same trials. Because when you're put on a big stage, you're no longer representing yourself, you're representing God. So therefore, you can't act a fool. Come on, somebody, don't look at me like that. There are times, come on, somebody. At home, there are times, let me know who's married. Hello. There are times I act a fool. What'd you say? Right? But hear me. There are going to be times that you're going to be tested. How will you respond? How will you respond? Right? I've learned that there are times when we fight, I got to learn to fight fair. I can't fight and throw a punch under, come on, somebody. And same thing, me and my wife, we fight fair. We don't say things that happened 2 weeks ago. Every now and then, I was like, I thought we let that go. Why'd you bring that up? I thought you were over there. What in the world? Why are we fighting? I don't know. Sometimes I walk away because sometimes I get proud. I'm like, what in the world are we fighting for? I say that to say that integrity of character is bred over a consistency of your actions over time. Yeah. Number four, and in closing, your struggle, catch this, your struggle, your trial, it has a time limit. Psalms 105:17b, Joseph was sold as a slave. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Do you know that those words, until the time, it speaks of an occasion? Those words, until the time, it speaks of God's fulfillment upon your life. God will allow you to go through some things until. See, that's good news, because even if the enemy throws everything at you, including the kitchen sink, do all you want, baby, because there is a time where the enemy says, stop. See, the latter part of Joseph's life was better than the first part of his life. And there are some of you, the first part of the game was horrible. The score is 47-7. But baby, it's halftime. And God is stirring you up. Your ladder shall be greater. It might be 47-7 right now in favor of him. But when the dust settles, baby, it'll be 65-47, because now is your time to rise. Joseph didn't understand what was going on, but listen to the following verses of Psalms 105. Watch this. After he had gone through all he had gone through, verse 19 says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Then king sent and released Joseph. The ruler of the people let him go free. Not only did he let him go free, verse 21 says he made him lord over his house and ruler of all possessions, to bind his princes at the pleasure and teachings of the elders and to teach them wisdom. Verse 23, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. In other words, he had gone through everything, and at the right time, he went from the pit to the palace. His struggle caused him not only to be free, but to administer everything in the land. See, the reason Joseph was able to accomplish such great things and why we speak so highly of the character of Joseph was because he endured the process of God. And I came this morning to encourage you, endure the process, because God has a purpose for your life. Your latter shall be greater than the former. After Joseph was tried and tested, finally, he was ready to step in to the plan of God. Stand with me this morning. 1 Timothy 3:10 says this. Before they are appointed, it is